Harper Via and Harper Audio present The Book of Non-Existent Words by Stefano Massini. Translated by Richard Dixon. Read by John Lee. The Words You Don't Have. It really all began with enoughness, also called morosinitude. Don't go rushing to the dictionaries. You won't find those words there for the simple reason they don't exist. The same with all the words set out in this book. I've invented them myself, and not out of choice, but out of need. Let's take one step back to see why I decided to coin a word after Francesco Morosini, a 17th-century Venetian commander. So, I was going through one of those moments in life, which luckily happen, when some more responsible part of me takes the initiative, makes its voice heard above the jumble of thoughts, and tries to restore order. They are moments of absolute clarity, though sometimes very painful because they upset the system of reflexes and silences that keep me going. It's when a sudden flood of light illuminates the meaning of some of the relentless battles I've been fighting for a long time. Hellishly difficult, but still deeply necessary, so that my very identity somehow felt tied to them. We'll return to this discussion later, but for the moment, suffice it to say that I was asking myself the crucial question, is it really worth it? And a shiver ran down my spine. Not only because I was suddenly aware of the complete stupidity of my battle, which I had gradually raised from a paltry guerrilla attack to the status of a crusade. There was no doubt I'd been fooling myself for a long while. The feeling of being on the barricades had filled me with a strange, fortifying relish. And yet, by drinking that elixir, I had avoided asking myself the other real question about the battle. What is it actually all about? Even more disturbing, however, if that were possible, was something less obvious, which I had to explore at all costs. It was like when a detective, even after he has solved his case, glimpses the shadow of a hidden accomplice who had played some key role. So, who had fought against my clarity? Who had added to that enormous waste of energy? The answer startled me. It was my language, or rather, that baggage of words we habitually use to describe feelings and states of mind, wrongly thinking that they cover the whole gamut of our emotional universe, and that, if anything, it is we who don't know how to use them. But my vocabulary was anything but extraneous to the crime of which I was accusing myself. This was the very reason why I had thrown myself for years into relentless conflict. Just think about it. There's no such word as enoughness. There's not a single word that describes the virtue of saying enough in the face of pointless battles. On the other hand, there are plenty of words that praise the perseverance of the warrior. Constancy, tenacity, determination, obstinacy. Indeed, it seems there's an unwritten rule that deters me from quitting and, to force me to carry on, lacks the words that justify surrender. It's a fact that language is never neutral. It implies a system of values, and it applies them tyrannically, choosing what to define and what to leave unnamed. Each language, like a piece of clothing made to measure, reproduces what a civilization believes to be right or wrong, starting with states of mind, indeed, perhaps these above all. For example, the Utku, a small Inuit population, we'll come across them again later, don't have any name for anger. They fear rage more than anything else, and therefore stop it from appearing by not dignifying it with a word. But how many states of mind are not considered in a language, and vice versa? How many are described in curious ways? The Koreans use the noun hun to indicate a particular gloomy kind of hope.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?